When Reg called this morning, and my heart went out to this mother and child that are in this suicidal situation, I prayed immediately. But it's difficult to imagine in our society, when you think that here we have a society where we have enough to eat, we have relative peace in our neighborhoods, and a lot of blessings that God has bestowed upon us, and yet still someone can come to that point in their life where they feel it's better to take their own life than to continue on living. And if I understand correctly, it was because of unwise counsel that this woman received. I got thinking about that and what I was reading in this morning in Isaiah chapter 55, thinking about what is wise counsel. I may sound like a broken record because you've heard me quote many, many times that all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And I firmly believe that. I firmly believe that, and it's the only thing that has gotten me through the trials of our accident back in 1964, the trials that we have faced on the mission field, the deaths in the family and accidents and things that have caused pain and suffering, in believing that God's word is that firm foundation that we can stand on forever. I was thinking about man's wisdom as well. Now, I don't know how many of you would want to go to a doctor who only had medical manuals dated 1862. I'll tell you, there were some strange practices. But there were still strange practices back in the early 1950s when they thought we were dying of pneumonia and they didn't have any penicillins or anything that they could give us. And so I remember that the cure for my earaches and my nausea was a shot of whiskey with some water in it and smoke being blown in my ear. Probably not too wise by today's standards. And I remember in 1961 when I went off to college at 17 years of age and entered this great university that had been founded as a seminary in 1861 based on the burning bush and the ultimate wisdom of God and the word of God, and found that it was a secular university, that there were a few Christians here and there, but basically it was a university that taught the wisdom of the world at that time. Went to a biology class and we were studying the newly developed theory of genes and genetic codes, and DNA was the catchword of the day. They didn't have any idea what it meant or any of that, but they were teaching it as fact. And I look back and think what my professor gave me an A for back then, and I would have gotten an F for it today in today's biology classes, because it was considered something that was not proven to be true. And I think of the great literature that we studied back in those days, 1984, which was still 20 years in the future, where you might have cameras watching you at every place you went. And it was a scary thing. Mind control of your bodies and your hearts and everything. Of course, now it doesn't seem so scary, even though it's come to pass, because God is in control. And I think of the world's wisdom. I think of my own family. My grandmother was a little lady, 5 feet tall, from Missouri. She had a third grade education. She could read and write, but that lady knew chapter after chapter after chapter of the Bible and could quote it to me verbatim. Even when her mind was gone, the word of God would come out of her mouth. And her mind was gone for about 20 years, the last 20 years I knew her. Well, when she was 39 years of age in 1920, she went to the best medical doctor in Pueblo, Colorado. And he said, "You have a tumor. I'm going to have to operate and take that tumor out. And a few short days after that, my grandmother's pretty heavy set. She was chubby. A few days after that, my mother was born. Family story, true. And we just thank God she was born before they had the operation. But you look at the world's wisdom and God's wisdom, and you see his scripture. What is the real problem with this world that we have today? If you look at the major denominations, what one thing have they left in order to become the social clubs that they are? And that's the Word of God. I firmly believe that this Word, from Genesis through Revelation, is the inspired Word of God. I firmly believe that the Old Covenant and the New Covenant are vital to our understanding of our world around us. We talk about religious tolerance and the things that go on in this life. We look at the world of Islam, and I'll never forget the thing that I read on the internet, where one writer that I greatly admire, he said the difference between Christianity and Islam is that in Christianity, God gave his son so that you may be saved. In Islam, you give your son so that he may be saved, to die as a martyr. So God, in his word, Isaiah chapter 55, he says, "Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money." God's word is for the rich and for the poor. Doesn't matter what station of life or what God's given you or how he's blessed you or the trials and tribulations, he is there for you. Come and take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. And why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. See how I used him to display my power among the peoples. I made him a leader among the nations. And I know you remember the story of David, where the prophet goes out and you have all these magnificent brothers who are going to be anointed king, and even the prophet is impressed as they prayed for him. But the Lord said, no, that's not the one. And he chooses a ruddy-faced shepherd boy, the younger one, out in the field that they didn't even think was significant. In God's wisdom, he chose David. See how I used him to display my power among the peoples? I made him a leader among the nations. You also will command nations you do not know, and peoples unknown to you will come running to obey, because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. That's tough, even as a Christian. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. This morning, I took my weekly sojourn into Facebook because I wanted to wish somebody happy birthday. And the first thing that popped up on my Facebook homepage was my former pastor, the first pastor we had in Venezuela. Some of you may have met him. He's an old man now, and his father and mother are even much older. But Victor Lopez was writing about his government situation, As you know, in Venezuela, they've just continued in an almost illegal election, throwing ballots out and having people vote five or six times. I mean, it sounded like a Chicago election is what it sounded like. But anyway, this man is now president. And this president said yesterday, I saw it in the news, and if I can translate it correctly, he said, if I have to have a conversation with the devil, I will do so in order to further Venezuela. Now, he was talking about the United States, is what he was talking about, being us being, our nation being the devil. But this wise old pastor, he said, you know, and he quoted this scripture, this what the president said yesterday, and he said, you know, I would have much rather, he said, I will search God's scripture and live according to it and lead my people according to it, according to God's word. And I thought, oh, Victor, how true, how true. Now, this is a man that I've known for many, many decades. His faithfulness, his family, his brothers, his sisters, his mother and father. It was his mother and father who lived out in the plains of Venezuela in basically a grass hut, and he made his living by cutting grass with a machete. This was how he earned his living. And I probably told you this story, but a Bible salesman came to this little place and was trying to sell Bibles to these poor, poor people. And Bonifacio Lopez, what is Bonifacio now, Vinny? He's getting close to 100. He said, I don't know how to read. What good would a Bible do me? He said, if you'll teach me to read, I'll buy your Bible. And he bought the Bible. I've seen this Bible that is in their family home. And he became a teacher of that word in his local village. And then spread out and moved to a larger city in Maracay. Had a large family of boys and girls who are following the Lord and preaching and teaching. One's a seminary professor who is constantly giving me little tidbits on the Facebook, and just a godly family and legacy from what? From one book of God's Word, one Bible, one old version Bible. It was probably as hard to understand as the King James would be for our young people today. I firmly believe this. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and the snow come down from heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. Think about that. When God sends out his word, it always, 100%, produces fruit. God's word. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish what I want it to. And it will prosper everywhere I send it. Then he says, you will live in joy and peace, and the mountains and hills will burst into song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Where once there were thorns, cypress trees will grow. Where nettles grew, myrtles will sprout up. These events will bring great honor to the Lord's name. They will be an everlasting sign of his power and his love. These words. I recently saw a quote by a Muslim leader saying that the Bible was a corrupted form of the Quran. Think about that for a minute. This word of God that God began giving to us over 4,000 years ago and is still valid today. And you think of Islam in its heyday from the 600s on to about 1492 when they were thrown out of Spain with the Jews. And that word that came so much later and was corrupted from what was learned in some of the Old Testament. There's a lot of deceit out there today. And the only way we can combat it is to stand firm on the Word of God. It is so important that in the Psalms, believe it or not, you go to Psalm 119, you could live a lifetime in God's Word and what it does and where it takes you and what it means. It was in that very Psalm that my life was changed in those first days of college. When the Lord spoke to me and said, "How can a young man keep his way pure?" Psalm 119, verses 9 and then 11, "By guarding it according to thy word. I have laid up thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Well, this is my quiet time for today and what I was studying this morning. I think of so many of the old hymns that we used to sing from a book and some of the scripture that they have, and I think of a hymn that was called "Wonderful Words of Life." Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, list the one loving call. Wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon, peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. And then the chorus goes, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words. Beautiful words of life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your scripture and your guidance. Lord, we feel Reg's absence and just pray, Father, that you would give him wisdom and your word and your divine guidance during this difficult time for this woman and this child and this husband. And Lord, as they seek your healing, we pray that the godly husband would have wisdom in how he deals with the suicidal wife. And we pray, Father, that the help that she needs, if it's physical or spiritual or emotional, that you would intervene in her life, Father, and heal her from whatever it is that has caused her to turn from your word. And now, Lord, we commit this day to you with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.